Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's very exciting to, you know, meet people doing essentially the same thing we're doing.
No. And I think it will be a great, and for us, it will be a fantastic to be able to contribute to Pacifica. So we could start very slow, very small, and then keep, you know, learning about each other. But hope something will come out from this.
Right.
Nancy, for what? I'm sorry. I was wondering if you could send us something about what your any proposals that you have for your collaborations with us.
Sure. I don't know if you got the email we circulated a bit earlier today, or if you have more specification, please let me know. I could investigate your concern.
Possibly.
All right. We will.
And of course, I have one more question, Carol, for the stack. What is the average length of your segments? So, you know, your interviews are...
So you have some programs where like an hour, but they are cut in very different... if you see the La Horera, it's in Spanish from Pacific, from Ecuador. It's like they do the interview for 10 minutes or something like this. And then after that, they change the subject to another subject. So the program is not really, it's not 1 hour on one subject. It's a combination of different news and you have different people. So I mean, it depends of which program you are looking at.
Thank you.
Yep,
all right. Welcome. Well, David, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight.
Okay, you're welcome. And then
thank you so much.
It's good to know you're there.
Great.
Thanks, you guys.
Bonsoir.
Thank you.
we'll follow up. Okay. All right. I wanted to move. Donald's not here, so I wanted to move now to what Shira had sent. A discussion on outreach and engagement. Shira, are you there? Shira? Is Shira there?
Sorry, I'm on mute. No, I'm on mute. It just takes me a while to get myself back off mute. Give me a second.
Okay, so why don't you read out and motivate what you wanted to talk about?
What I wanted to talk about was just that if we're talking about programming, then to me, we should be talking about instead of trying to always find the programming itself, sort of for Cape, for Pacifica, that we should be trying, we should help in trying to figure out how to, instead of taking a top-down approach, we should help in trying to figure out ways or tools or things like that that can help us start to listen to the listener and what the listener wants or the listener is reacting to. And I don't just mean in cold, hard data that I guess sometimes it seems that everybody just wants like a number to, you know, as if that's like the actual speaking of like people. But I really mean in an engagement sort of way, like, are we interacting with our listeners? Are we interacting with our staff? So I'm really happy that it seems that they're going to proactively be giving us updates in terms of the programming directors. Any way that we could sort of as a programming committee be listening to them in terms of helping create ways that make their lives better or gets them the information they need to program the radio better and more efficiently. In my opinion, there should be more time spent to that and not necessarily trying to do the programming in and of itself.
Mackey to the stack.
Bob Mackey.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. I think you hit it right on the head. I think the mistake that Pacifica governance often makes is believing that their role is to create programming. You hire professionals to serve as program directors at your station. Governance should be empowering those folks. Now, where it gets confusing here is that you've got your community advisory boards, which in many respects, I would argue, should be the arm that is deeply rooted in community engagement work to inform the program director of what the community that you cover and geographically, what they need, want, and aspire to. The CAB is responsible in many respects if it's formed properly with being your tentacles into the larger communities that you serve with your radio signal. To me, the role of governance in this case is twofold. To me, it's thinking strategically about programming and trying to create resource in much the way that I think, in all honesty, Jim did tonight, looking at a potential collaborative partner, not so much so that you can decide how to use them for programming, but you can share that information with your local PDs so that if they want to take a more global approach to content, that they have a resource they can go to until we get to national programming and can roll it out in that fashion. So I just wanted to endorse what you said. I think looking at ways to finance programming, looking at research methodology and research and program development resources, those are the things I would argue are most important for governance to be involved in. And that goes for the PMB, that goes for the programming committee of the PMB, and that goes for the LSB. And if there are programming committees of the LSB, that how can you think strategically about programming? And the reason why the reports from the PDs are so important is the only way you're going to be competent thinking about the possibilities is if you know how your station's performing. If you understand from a granular standpoint and a top-line standpoint, what are the trends happening with your station? What are the communities that you're not serving? What are the opportunities available to you in the market? What programming is not performing well, and how can you assist the program director in either seeking out opportunities to find programming that would perform better, or giving that person the support to make the hard decisions to cancel programming without all the drama that often comes with that. That's all I got to say.
All right. Anybody else on this? Well, one point I want to make about these. So, go on. Anybody else want to speak about this? Anybody?
Nancy, clarifying Nancy. Question. All right. So, Maxie, I think what you're saying is that governance should, for example, set the policy on the types of sources that would sources that are available that the programming people can use, or maybe even vetting programming sources. I'm not sure. In much like the discussion on underwriting, there would be a vetting process for who what type of organization would be we could collaborate with.
If I can respond. I think it's a little different. And I won't touch the underwriting piece because that seems to be a hot wire for everybody. And
just was an example. Never, don't even go there.
I know, but it tends to confuse people and get them irritated about something that's really not material. So let me focus more on what I'm really suggesting. I think it's important for the governance of a station to be able to objectively analyze and review whether the program director is doing his or her job efficiently and effectively. And the only way you can do that is if you have data. And so requiring, I would argue, monthly, quarterly, and annual reports is part of that process. If you can categorically assess that the program director's decisions are resulting in less and less audience, you can then make a decision that the program director is not an effective person to be doing programming at your station. Without that, you really aren't able to do that. And you're flying blind, and you're making assumptions that probably aren't based on any kind of empirical data whatsoever. It's just your belief, your philosophy, your opinion, and probably some anecdotal, you know, pieces. I think the role of governance is to require reporting. I think the role of governance is to articulate strategically some larger goals around programming. In other words, let's say PFW, okay? I think the role of governance in PFW's case would be to say we want to make sure that we are a strong hold for jazz music and jazz culture in this region of the country. That we want to make sure that we're holding management accountable to making sure that we live up to the opportunity to be the dominant jazz presenter in this region. And finding out, you know, ways that you can support management in being that. If you're going to do news and information, it's assisting them if they're going to articulate a strategy to robustly fill slots in terms of having journalists on staff. That you're helping them to raise the money to pay for that. I mean, that's really what boards tend to do. They assist in providing resource or making sure that systems are in place so that development is done at its most maximum, that membership drives are done efficiently and effectively so that the budgeting for, you know, an outgrowth of journalists or, you know, whatever direction you're trying to go programmatically can occur. So I know that's a bit long-winded. I hope that provides some clarity.
Well,
I'm not.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Go on, Nancy.
So, the audience going up or down would be like a metric, right? So, would the governance be determining what the metrics are going to be that are going to be used when they review different things? I mean, I agree definitely the role is to help one of the roles is to help raise money. But aside from that, on this, as far as setting policy, that's another area. I'm thinking that maybe somehow it involves trying to determine what the metrics should be like, you know.
I can respond to that. I think that within reason, I think it's fine for the governance, the committees to determine what metrics are looked at. You could say we want to make sure that we're appealing to audiences of color in our region, or that we're skewing to younger demographics, and so therefore ask and make sure that the reports that you get demonstrate how you're performing in that way. And that could be part of the reporting, but I wouldn't consider that motions or policy. I think that's just a request for reporting to reflect that, so that when you analyze whether your PD is doing a good job, you're using that metric, because the data can reveal that information. So that's how I would look at that.
All right, Jim to the stack. One thing that's unusual in the situation in the past year is that the very argument about having Nielsen ratings as a decision-making tool is something relatively new to many people. Those of you who are familiar with the history of how this has been viewed historically in Pacifica should know that generally Nielsen ratings have been regarded negatively and in cases were actually vigorously fought against for quite a long time. I would say almost 20 to 25 years. Now, I'm not part of that fighting against. I always felt that you had to take them into consideration. I was actually sort of bemused that the program directors had never seen that information when it was presented to them recently. It was sort of an interesting comment about how that progress had happened. The issue of the metrics, though, is something interesting about what Shira writes, because Shira writes in her resolution or proposal here to talk about is that social media supports relationship building and the ability to communicate directly with listeners, in my humble opinion, that Pacifica continues to take a linear top-down approach to programming, which is no longer effective in a digital world. In the committee that was previous to this, we had long debates about the question of social media, in particular in this issue about how it communicates, how it should be integrated into the schedules, how shows should use it, how it should be used precisely to do what Shira is writing here about how to communicate directly with listeners. Because while I'm very much a data-driven person, like others on this call, I also have to recognize that there are a lot of subjective things to take into consideration, and we're not WINS New York, we're not WNYC. It's a Pacifica radio station that has different kinds of synthesis of ideas to come out with products at the end of it. It's a whole different ballgame. So I just have to say that, you know, the idea of completely, I would not put this in your mouth, Maxie. I know that you know you wouldn't argue this. And while it is important to be fact driven and data driven, we also have to keep in mind other conditions and ideas to also try to make our brand unique and in line with the mission of Pacifica.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I may respond to that, Jim, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's why I'm such an advocate of community engagement. There's no quantitative data that's going to come out of community engagement. What you're going to get is a nuanced understanding of what matters to the different communities we serve, how they respond, what they think of progressive issues, and how we should best cover that. That's soft information, if you will. That's soft data, if you will.
Soft power.
Yeah, exactly. And so my point in saying that is that I don't for a minute believe that Arbitron or PPM numbers are the complete picture. I think what drives programming and development is community engagement. And I think using social, viral, and affinity marketing, those tools, is vital to the success of Pacifica moving forward. And hopefully it's something that's incorporated in the near term.
Do others want to jump in here who haven't talked at all yet about any of this stuff?
Yeah, this is Michelle. Hi. I just want to say thank you for this discussion. It kind of gets to the root of some of the things that I'd like to be talking about. I don't have answers for this, but I kind of want to open the discussion of the situation that we have here at KPFK, where there's a significant amount of our programming that is sort of what I call pseudoscience or pseudo-spiritual. And we have this conundrum happening where the core listeners and our ideological listeners don't really like this programming, but somehow it's making us a lot of money. And so my concern when we talk about data is things like that, where the numbers don't necessarily reflect. And I think we started to get to, you know, the previous speaker started to get to this issue is that, you know, if we go based completely on the data, we're sort of being a you know, different, no different than any of the other stations, and, you know, taking our lead from sort of capitalist thinking. And I don't think we want to go down that route. And so, my comment is more of a question, to the group, regarding like what we can do to, yes, of course, assess the data. And I do think we should access whatever data we have access to in order to make educated, decisions, and recommendations. But, you know, we also have an ideological mission that is so crucial right now, you know, with this particular presidential election, with the drumbeat of war more serious than it's been in a long time. You know, this is the war, Venezuela and everything else, you know, that's terrible. And we don't want to go to war anywhere. But this is the war they've been salivating over for years. And so we have a very serious, you know, mission that we need to stick to. And so my concern is that, you know, programming that is based on what's making money doesn't necessarily allow us to stick to that mission in the ways that I think Pacifica needs to be committed. So I'll go back on mute because I have a background noise.
Well, and to add, Michelle, that's the great conundrum. Anybody else on this?
Cliff to the stack.
Go on, Cliff.
The whole thing of communities, this is probably equivalent given demographics nationwide. But here in D.C., for instance, we have the largest Ethiopian community in the world outside of Ethiopia. Now, would ratings indicate how deeply we reach into the Ethiopian community? We have 500,000 Salvadorans in the D.C. area. Would ratings indicate how deeply we get into the Salvadoran community? This is why I and I think a lot of other people have suspicions about ratings, because who are they actually talking to? Who do they actually include in their you know, demographics and so on like that? And I think that these are the kind of communities, you know, like Los Angeles. I mean, what do they have, 5 to 10 million Latinos? How much programming goes toward that? You know, it's, and of course, New York City's got, what, 100 different major communities with maybe 100,000 to a couple million each. Do the ratings go into these communities? Anyway, I don't know. I just personally don't know. Maybe Maxine knows more information about this.
Yeah, I'll just respond
quickly. Well, go on, Maxine.
Yeah, Radio Research Consortium identifies as Black, non-white, Hispanic. I believe they do Asian and, of course, Hispanic. Would they be able to tease out the ethnic aspect of the Black population, if you will? They would probably count Ethiopians as Black. But there is more refined data available that you can use to understand, you know, exactly what zip codes and counties the listenership is in, and that might help you be informed as to whether it's a certain aspect of the Black or Hispanic or Asian or even white community. That's one way that it can be done. There's also qualitative research that's available that does get more into psychographic information that would share or shed light on who exactly they're reaching. But again, to me, the PPMRRC data is one tool. Community engagement is a vital one as well. And if you combine those, I think you have a better understanding of the type of programming that is not only needed, desired, and aspired to be produced, but it also gives you an understanding of how well what you're doing is performing. And I think that's just as important as knowing where your opportunities are, is knowing what your challenges are in terms of what you're currently doing.
Well, let me add something to this. As I understand community engagement, one of the sort of theories of radio that has been bandied about in Pacifica for many years is that the show is reflective of the community. People will go, the community or the communities. And in fact, one will have arguments. I know at BAI we've had arguments about, well, my show was set up to reflect a community that I serve, and my community then will support it. Now, when you look at the audience data that's come in, and I'm not only talking about recently, but in the past, because I've certainly been a student of those numbers, that quote community was only a couple hundred people or maybe less than 1,000 people. So I guess it is a community, but is it the community? Is it a community? You get into these semantics about people's, in some cases, their level of hubris. Now, the case that Michelle raises about this contradiction of basically selling pseudo-spiritual or pseudo-health products has been a contradiction in the Pacifica stations since the Vietnam War. New York is probably the most egregious example of that because, as people know, Gary Null at one point had 17,000 people an hour listening to him. No other show on WBAI since the end of the Vietnam War has ever approached those kind of numbers in an hour. Okay? So that explains, to some extent, the perpetuity of his premiums being so responsive to the audience. And one time I remember a program, a council debate in New York, which I was part of, one of the producers who was a Syrian woman who did a show on Middle East politics, her comment was, look, Gary Null makes people feel good, and all we're doing is talking about the negativity of the society we're living in. So people want to feel good. And so that's the conundrum. And the conundrum was that 60% to 50% of the revenue, gross revenue, in the early 90s came from Gary Null products. So that is part of that kind of conundrum. Now, getting back to the war thing I think Cliff raised, that's a good point. And Maxie, what are you guys talking about dealing with this situation in the Middle East? Are you guys talking now about doing national programming, special national programming, to deal with the possibility of war that seems looming in the Middle East right now?
That has not come up by the program directors as a topic for us to discuss. Again, without a national program, and one of the challenges that the PDs have is while the East Coast stations tend to partner well and find collaborative opportunities, getting the West Coast stations in Houston to participate has been very difficult. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The East Coast stations tend to be a lot more reactionary to content opportunities, whereas the West Coast stations want a lot more lead time before they can schedule and prepare to produce or carry something. So that's one of the issues that's come up. But what I will say is that because of the patchwork programming, there's a lot of – these topics do come across the air on various programs. What you're asking for is a organized, structured approach to covering it. And what I'm telling you is that Pacifica is not really built for that right now. Enough to do that. What's happening is individual producers, programmers, I should say, will do that. Obviously, right. Democracy Now! Covers that. And if some of the stations have news departments, then they will cover it. So it's not, you know, a structured, organized way in the sense of, you know, a program would do it in a way
right,
that
can. Right.
Carol, for this stuff.
All right, before you jump in, Carol, I wanted to point out on this issue, and you could ask Berthold about this. I drove Berthold crazy about the need to have coverage of what was going on during the Arab uprisings, Arab Spring. And in New York, we're positioned, I certainly am positioned to provide people who are extraordinarily knowledgeable about Iran. I can think of three or four people right off the top because I participate in a seminar at Columbia University that's been meeting since 1947 on the Middle East, and the person in charge of it is Gary Sick. And all these people are unalterably opposed to war in they're completely opposed to the outbreak of war in the Middle East. So it can be done. It just is that here's where it's important for us to talk about this at a different level. But I do think there has to be a tremendous attention to it, and here's where policy crosses into programming issues when we're sort of having a roadblock in terms of how stations, all the cultures of the stations perhaps aren't jumping on to an obvious situation. It's a brand new situation.
Yeah, but Jim, I think...
Carol, for the stack, point of information.
All right, Carol, go on.
I'm a little concerned because Shira had a motion about, and we never voted on that. And I think that rather than get into a theoretical long discussion, because we have other issues on the agenda, I'd like to get to the drive time before we get off and the get out the vote issue. So I'm just wanting to maybe not get into such long philosophical discussions, but to say I would suggest that everybody figure out what shows at your stations are covering or have the potential to cover, you know, the Middle East, and that we share resources. You know, I frequently write to, you know, my the news department at my station or other shows that I think are relevant that might carry material. So part of it is let's share resources, and maybe we can as a committee, and let's also either vote. I would move that we vote in favor of Shira's motion and take a vote right now.
All right. Does everybody in accord with that to call the question on Shira's motion?
Someone read Shira's motion again, please? It's Nancy.
All right.
I can say it in the short version. It's to add outreach and engagement on the agenda.
Fine.
On our agenda, Shira?
It was really just to add it to this agenda, and in general, again, I felt that there was a lot of conversations around how to program Pacifica rather than, like, how do we support or help create, I guess, methods or whatever of outreach and engagement, and if we're and to look at data around outreach and engagement. So both a qualitative and quantitative approach.
Are you feeling complete, or would you like us to continue this on?
No. It was good because it was just a discussion about the fact that that's something that we should be looking at and not just trying to program Pacifica.
Thank you.
Okay.
So the motion was to add this discussion to the agenda? Was that what the motion was?
Well, no, to add it.
Pretty much.
Well, we already have the discussion.
Yeah, thank you. So we don't need to vote on it.
No vote. Thank you.
Right, but the idea of talking about social media as an ongoing thing and how to integrate it into analog radio, I think it's very important. All right. Sure.
Again, just to clarify, it's not. It is social media in the sense of creating ways in which we can talk to, like listeners and members and stuff like that. But that isn't just social media. For instance, everybody seems to be interested in programming, radio. So, you know, it's maybe developing a platform that allows people to put in their story suggestions. So that's why I just want to make sure that we're not just talking about social media. Okay, thanks. That's it.
Okay. All right. Is everybody happy with that?
So happy.
Okay. Okay, very good. All right, so can we move on to the next topic? Which was, I guess, the morning show study, or what were you going to, Carol, what was in your mind about that? The get out the vote issue?
Is Don on the call?
Yes, I am.
Maybe we should talk about the drive time proposal.
Go on, Don.
Okay. So I hope everybody's had a chance to read the brief blurb and the previous conversation we had last time. So the goal of this is to really begin to engage all of us across the network at all of the stations in a collaborative, collegial manner to examine the morning drive time shows at all of our stations as a beginning to understand how we can strengthen programming where needed, because the morning drive time programming shapes how many listeners are going to listen throughout the day, as Maxie will certainly concur, and I'm sure he's a fan of that. So it seems to me that what a wonderful thing would be to do is for one person from each station to be part of a small working committee on this program committee to take some time over the next couple of months, whatever's needed, to take a real good look at all of those programs that are on the air from 6 to 9 a.m. at your stations, and to see, A, whether those programs are part of the mission of Pacifica, number one. Number two, are they reaching a real audience? Number three, are they providing information that is useful to our listenership at this point in history, in our country, and in the planet? And number four, are they generating revenues commensurate with their key positions in the morning drive time hours? Because those are huge hours in terms of fundraising at every station, as I'm sure everybody understands. So that's the thrust of the proposal here, and I'm happy to take questions.
Maxie, to the stack.
Go on, Maxie.
Donald, I'm just curious how you see that differing from what a program director is supposed to do.
I don't see it as different, per se. I think it is helping and assisting program directors at stations to bolster their ability to actually make program changes where needed. Because I think at some level, program directors don't feel empowered in this very strange governance structure that we have to go ahead and make bold changes that are in accord with our mission. So if we are able to do an assessment, and certainly it would be good if all the program directors worked with us on this, that might be a very unique opportunity to combine forces of both those responsible for the programming and those of us who are elected to manage this network. To assist the management in creating a viable network. Because all of us on this call know we're in deep doo-doo as a network.
Okay.
If I may follow up.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're considering how members of this committee can collaborate with the program directors, because I think there's truth in what you're saying about many of them feeling not as empowered as they would like because of some of the politics that go on with Pacifica stations, no question about it.
Precisely.
When I talk to them. So I agree with you wholeheartedly on that point. And so I would just encourage you to, and the rest of the committee, to think how we can, as governance, assist in a way that is non-threatening and is actually empowering. Because I like the spirit of what you're saying. I want to know how that manifests, if you will.
If you want me to respond, I
can. That'd be great.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, if the program committee agrees that this is a good project to engage in, then I think the next step, after we select people from each station, or people volunteer preferably, we then reach out to the program directors and say, can we do this collaboratively? Can we work as a joint team to be honest and collegial and collaborative and saying, let's take a hard look and let's see how we can improve things? Because I'm not coming from a place of attacking people at all. I'm not interested in that. What I'm really interested in is this network needs to thrive. And that means we need to be really honest with ourselves about what's working and what's not, and how do we make it better?
Well, Carol, for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
Well, I was interested in this proposal, and I took a little time this afternoon just to go to the different websites and listen just a little bit to some of the things and to see. And what I noticed was there's quite a variety. And so I made a little list of things that I would want to look at as a criteria just to get a sense of what we're talking about. So some of my things that I would look at would be, is it strip or patch? What is the sound quality, including is there music and how's the music integrated? What's the background sounds? What is the voice quality? What is the editing? What is the pace? What are the key topics and the content? What is the type of presentation like? Is it a couple of people talking with each other back and forth? Is it all interviews? What is the listener data? What's the fundraising data? What's the, is it searchable? Is it shareable? What's the target audience? And also, maybe to add what you're bringing is, what's the possibility for listener participation and feedback? So those are some of the criteria that we could just be looking at, just to get a sense, because I could see there were some things that to me sounded more kind of homegrown and some things that sounded professional, and it was kind of all over the place.
Well, Jim to the stack. I may be the only person on this phone call who ever worked on a national television program that was designed to be also a radio program when I was doing that show for Free Speech TV. And we did that for 6 years, and we did it every day. And I also worked and contributed to national news television coverage at different times in my life. But those 6 years taught me that, you know, the kind of ideas I expressed in that memo I sent, you know, we already passed this resolution at the last meeting, if I recall, at the end of the meeting.
Yes.
And we now just have to staff this. And we can work together. We can learn from each other. I don't want to come into this with a sort of, oh, I got you type approach. That's ridiculous. It's a waste of energy. I simply want to figure out what's the most effective way to deal with the kind of limited resources we have to do a better job. That's it, period. And I think that we just have to staff this and get the show on the road. That's all. And so I wanted to ask Donald if at this point, should we just call for volunteers to start to work on this?
Yes.
All right. So who wants to volunteer to work on this study of a morning show? And, yes, of course, we'll collaborate with the PD and everybody else, the PDs and the ED. Who wants to volunteer for this? I volunteer to work on this. Who else?
Wesley Bethune from KPFT.
Wesley, okay. Who else? Anybody from Washington? Cliff or Nancy?
Cliff would be great. Cliff.
Cliff would like to be on it. On the other hand, I've never been online, and I'm not planning to get online, so I think I'd be a real problem for that.
Well, you don't have to be, Cliff. This is Nancy.
You can tune in.
Yeah, this is a tune-in issue, man. We're asking you to tune in and listen carefully.
I can collaborate with you, Cliff. I can provide.
That'd be fine, Nancy.
A form with the metrics and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. The form is the key thing here. And then anybody from KPFK? Actually, we only have Mansoor on the line, right?
Michelle? But I can't.
No, I'm sorry, Michelle. Do you want to participate in this, Michelle?
I don't have a minute to spare in my schedule right now. I apologize.
All right. By the way, Michelle, I didn't realize you had done work on Mozambique. We'll have to talk about that sometime. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the continent twice. It's my favorite thing.
I worked on Angola in the 1970s. Another discussion for another time. Anyway, who else? who else from, anybody else from Berkeley besides David, and who else from Berkeley wants to help on this?
I think you mean Don.
Don. All right. So we got.
I would work on it a little bit.
Right.
I mean, I'll work on it some.
All right. All right, so we've got Donald, Carol, Wesley, myself, Cliff, Nancy. We just need somebody from KPFK. We'll dragoon somebody down the road. Mansoor, are you there? We can't dragoon you, right? Mansoor, are you still on the phone?
Right. Doesn't sound right, like it.
Okay, it doesn't sound like it. Okay, so we'll communicate with each other and figure out how to get this going. Now, the next thing to talk about is the get-out-the-vote issue. Has there been any updates on that? Maxie, did you get any feedback from your colleagues?
Unfortunately, I'm waiting on a report from Katia Stitt at WPFW, and she hasn't turned it in yet. I was expecting it over the weekend, so I reached out to her today and still haven't gotten feedback, but hopefully she'll have something soon.
All right. I will tell you what I've done so far. I'm constructing an email to send. I sent an email to the Brennan Center, and I left a message with the president of the Brennan Center and Wendy Weiser, who runs the voting part of the Brennan Center. And there's all these other places in the United States that we can work with. So I will sort of slowly – we'll probably need support on that one too – and I would even ask for other volunteers outside of this committee to help on it. But that's as far as I've gotten. And I haven't really talked to Grace yet about it. But that's as far as I've gotten so far. Anybody else want to talk about the get out the vote issue?
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
Last week there was a great show on Upfront. I think it was Monday morning with Kat Brooks, but it was about the Black Census and how that relates to voters. And so I think one thing would be great is to figure out, it's a challenge when we have a program like that for the programmers to download that on AudioPort because it takes time. But in talking with our news department, what she said was, you know, that could be downloaded off of our website. So I wonder about what is the mechanism. Let's say we do have some material that we want to share network-wide because that would be evergreen and could be used and is very relevant in the coming, year. So how do we take that material and get it distributed? And how do we put together a bank of resources where stations can access that?
All right. We're having the technology task force meet tomorrow night for the first time, I believe, in many years. And that is a perfect issue to raise with OTIS to talk about how to do that. Advisor as hell don't know the answer to that. Maxie, do you have an answer to that one?
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
The question is how do you distribute stuff through AudioPort? How do you share it, distribute it? Is that the question, Carol?
No, it is if the programmers don't have time or, you know, are not used to downloading things on AudioPort because this is a local show. They think of themselves as a local show. So how do we share things? What, do we have, well, it could be through AudioPort or it could be that we have, you know, somewhere a bank of material about the election. You know, do we have something on AudioPort and do we track it? Does somebody post it? Is there somebody who has the capacity to post that audio on AudioPort and how do we share it?
Yeah, in the last program director's call that we had last week, Ursula Rudenberg from the Pacifica Affiliate Network presented AudioPort and how to utilize it and maximize it to the PDs. They discussed a whole lot of issues with AudioPort, advantages to it, and ways to take fuller advantage of it. So the best way to answer your question is to say that the stations now, at least the PDs, are fully aware of how they can post things to AudioPort, how they can tag them so that anyone in the network who wants to share content or use some of content that's been produced, whether it be reports, like a reporter piece, or if it's an entire show or a special, that content would be able to be searched. So the other thing I think Ursula is trying to do is create a better front page that promotes certain hot topic issues in a way that it doesn't do right now. The search functionality doesn't really highlight, let's say, the most important issue of right now. You'd have to search for it, and then things would come up. But AudioPort is the mechanism right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything more to discuss on this topic? All right. I want to move to the next item on the agenda, which is this Indigenous Peoples Day programming. It's been on the agenda now for two sessions, and the whole idea is that the network and affiliates collaborate nationally using the resources locally of volunteer producers, et cetera. The PDs will take a role in shaping this. But then we do special programming on the International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples on August 9th this year. And that's the gist of it. Are there any discussions about that?
Max, to the staff.
All right. And before you jump in, Maxie, I just want to say about national programming and the flexibility of that. And this gets back to the issue of covering the war. In my day, when we were covering the Gulf War, there was a total flexibility by the PD at the station, at BAI, to bring on all sorts of different folks to talk about what was going on in terms of the war. So this is an issue, I think, that is a no-brainer, and we should be doing things that brand us differently, like what we did yesterday when we played the entire Poor People's Campaign debate down in Washington, which I think was a good thing to do. But anyway, go on, Max.
Well, yeah, I mean, in that spirit, Juneteenth, all the stations seem to be doing their own Juneteenth programming. They didn't come together to create a national Juneteenth program, but all the stations are focusing on Juneteenth. I'm confident they'll do the same for Indigenous Day as they did for May Day. There are these disassociated efforts, these non-centralized initiatives that take place at all of the stations. And I think I'm hearing a desire for it to be a structured national play, and I'm just simply articulating that that's not how we're structured right now, because we don't have national program to push out like that. And the specials, again, are hard for PDs to coordinate because the West Coast stations play very different than the East Coast stations. And it's just that I would say it was a more, I can give you a better response than that, but the truth of the matter is we don't have the vehicle right now to do a coordinated national piece in the way that you're speaking it up. And at the same time, there is activity to cover these issues, and it's being done by individual programs, and in some cases the PDs are creating specials, but they're not doing it as a national effort.
All right. Let me respond to that. I know that I argued to have us do Juneteenth programming at the station 5 years ago, and this long before you entered the picture. And obviously, it's a no-brainer to take a day like that, which is a very powerful day, which, as we all know the history of it, it's sort of fallen, not as celebrated as it was back in the 19th century. But I think it's a question of leadership. I think it's a question of leadership nationally and locally to simply push to get this done, because your comment about the weakness of the infrastructure is a valid one. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people who would like to work with you. I can think of Americans here in New York who I've talked to about this who would be excited about this. So I have to push back on you and say I do think it's a question of leadership, and it just shouldn't like fall by the wayside and be sort of left into sort of a let's do your own thing locally type approach, where we should be trying to figure out ways that everybody can collaborate nationally. And the more we do that, the better.
This is Michelle.
Hey, this is Shira. I'm back. Oh, I just want to let you know that I have to get off the call, so I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shira.
Bye.
Now, what I will say to you, Jim, is, you know, perhaps it's valid that you look at it as a leadership issue. What I'm saying to you, and I think you know this, that the PDs at our stations are tacky to the 10th degree, running around dealing with, you know, in some cases over 100 program directors. I mean, programmers.
Right. 100 program directors is a good comment, right?
Yeah, I know, right? But my point to you is that, you know, the aspiration might be to do national programming or to do collaborative national initiatives. What I'm telling you on the ground is that we're just not built for that right now. The PDs don't feel like they have the relationship with the programmers to coordinate them to do certain things. And even PD to PD, there's a disconnect that we're trying to heal and mend and find ways for them to collaborate more. The fact that we meet weekly means that they're moving more towards working together, but that's new. That's a new development. So I think, you know, it's wishful thinking. I think it's a good goal to have, but I'm just giving you the real to real on the ground. That's a development that is still in progress, where we can execute what you're talking about.
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.